Hello, my name is Binay. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Binay.
Hi, and I celebrated, this panel is 30 plus years, and I celebrated 40 years, October the 29th of this year. And I came into the program, my youngest child had been was born six months before, and I found out about this program through a neighbor who knew someone who went, and I went to my very first meeting. It was at, I believe, the same church. No, maybe I'm wrong about that. It's at St. Luke's Church in Metuchen. And at that time, there were two meetings there. There was, I want to say Monday and Thursday. It could be Tuesday and Thursday. And I went to the meeting that had an orange sheet. In fact, I found it. Mine is the travel size. This is the one that I found. There was another meeting. The other meeting had the gray sheet. And if you went to the orange sheet meeting, that meant that you were allowed to have a carbohydrate, so that's why I went there. However, what you couldn't do is you couldn't do the steps. So in order for me to do the steps, I had to go to the other meeting and get permission from someone at that other meeting in order to do the step work, which is exactly what I did. And at that time, there were only four meetings that I knew about. So when I hear someone announce that Central Jersey Intergroup has over 40 meetings, it's just a blessing to my mind, because that wasn't available. And so I got permission to do the steps, and I took a sponsor. I wore maternity clothes to that first meeting, and I took a sponsor. The very next day, she stood up, and one of the things that we did at these initial meetings was, because we were so brand new, is we did everything out of this book. You know, we followed it to the letter. So what happened in terms of the physical setup of the meetings was that everybody, sat theater style. So when I came, I sat in one of those seats, and the people that I could identify in terms of a face were only the people who spoke, who chaired the meeting, who told their story. That was it. Everything else, I saw the back of heads, and I took a message home. And the message, because I went to one meeting a week, stayed in my mind. There was they have it in the books, a willingness and an ability. I prayed for the willingness and ability to take what you had, your message, and bring it home. I got a sponsor the very next day, and she was sponsoring seven people. And I called her in the morning, and she said yes. She said that she would sponsor me, and I was very grateful. And this is how God did that. Her sponsor, as far as I know, and this is what I was told, was the woman who brought OA to New Jersey. So that woman brought OA from New York to New Jersey. My sponsor, that was her sponsor, and then my sponsor had connection to her. So the second week that I was in the program, they made a decision that we were going to go into New York because there were so few meetings. So I went with these strangers into New York City. I said to myself, I do not know what I'm doing here. And I went to the Moravian Church in New York City, and my program began. And the literature, there wasn't one book that's over there that was available, nothing like that. There were pamphlets at that during those early times, and this kind of thing came from World Service, as well as these that came from World Service. But the literature, what we used is the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 and 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous. And because of who I connected with, and part of my message is that I don't know what happens at your home groups, but it's so important to me to have someone there or have a philosophy within the meeting room that will guide the newcomer, because look at where I was guided, look at how I was guided. If that wasn't there for me, I don't know where I'd be. So this is what happened. We started to do step work. I mean, we did the program as it was laid out in the big book. And I was 6 weeks into the program. There were writings that came out of California. So we did 21 writings. There was a group of 21 writings. There was a group of 30 writings. And we did that. And we did a history. We also did a history that was part of it. And then we went and did the rest of the steps. And I remember, even at that time, that there were people in those two meetings in the Touchin who were, you know, frightened of the fourth step. And I said that to my sponsor, and what she said was, "Binay," she said, "that is just one of the 12. Do you want to continue to get better?" And I said, "Yes, I do." So I did my first fourth step when I was in the program 6 weeks, and I've done others since then, but my initial connection was work out of the big book. And so from that point on, the meetings, this was another thing about meetings. I just lost my train of thought. Just give me a minute. I forgot. In terms of sponsorship, what happened at the meeting was that in order to show that you were a sponsor, there were no step-up procedures, nothing like that. We actually marked the book with a star, and that would allow the book to go around and circulate so people would know that you were able to sponsor someone else. And I just got a signal that I only have 3 more minutes. I thought I would have nothing to say today. I went to, and all my memorabilia is at that last table with the blue tablecloth. I went to 29, this was a part of my year, 29 out of 30 Concord Resort retreats, which was a miracle. And there was someone that was supposed to be here who was on that committee, and he moved from New York to New Jersey, and I had the benefit of being with him at meetings. So it's extraordinary. And briefly, at the Concord, and this has nothing to do with step work, I put a bathing suit on for the first time. I danced to Saturday Night Fever. They had an instructor. I went away from my home for the first time in my life. I called home 14 times, but then that brought me to another program, which is CODA. So that was every year, and the second thing that was every single year was the Long Beach Island retreat. And I made, out of those, I think if it went 25 years or 20 years, I made 18. Or I went 23 of those years. But those things were like anchors. And I've substituted other retreats as a result of that, because you experience the program differently when you allow yourself more time and concentrated effort there. I have 1 minute. So I have all these notes, but I want to read you this very last thing, because I didn't have a chance to do it the last time. And while I'm looking for it, I just want to tell you that when we reached maintenance, there was no maintenance. There was no maintenance literature, and people brought in their own. This is how primitive it was then. And today it's a different story, but that's what we experienced when that happened. So I just want to read you this. This was written in 1983. A year has gone by, and so much has been done. There are miracles in this life, and coming from it, and that's coming from an intellectual that took some doing to realize. One day at a time, this spiritual happening, plus me and my close ones in OA, created a situation where I did not destroy myself, miracle. So many lessons, my way is not necessarily right, I can be so sure, yet be so wrong. Love is what I needed. That was the big message from the Harvey Cedars retreats, that love is what I needed. It comes from you, and then I learned where it was not coming from in life and made changes. The abstinence cleared me. Then I saw what was going on in my house. I experienced some of the greatest pain I have ever felt. I lived one day at a time with no guarantees for anything in this life, not knowing if the outcome would be my way. That is called faith and trust. You never turned me away or made me feel small. I have problems and I am not bad or good. This is what it is. A whole year, how could I have done a whole year just by one day? The first meal that was weighed and measured gave me the hope that I could be thin, thin. Honesty with my food and my life kept me clean. Willingness was the gift. How does one say thank you for a life? Thank you.
Before you set your timer, I need to be outside.
Okay.
This is starting to clear. I press those 2 minutes and press them, fix them in 3 minutes, and then 3 minutes and 9 minutes.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Cheryl, a compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Cheryl.
It was really important for me to speak today because I have been in the program over 40 years and I have gotten so much from people. And part of why I wanted to speak is to pay tribute to those people who have helped me over the years. So I first came into OA several months after I heard about it from Esther. I think Esther was instrumental in starting Unity Day many, many years ago. And my first meeting was on January 8th, 1975, in someone's basement in East Brunswick. Maybe that St. Luke's meeting was there, but there was nothing close to me. And after that basement meeting was going on for a while, we started to develop meetings in churches in East Brunswick, in Parlin, and those are the meetings that I went to and started to learn about the program for years. So January 8th, 1975, was when I first found out I was a compulsive overeater and my willpower was broken and it wasn't my fault. That just lifted the burden off me. I just had so much guilt and remorse over not being able to just get it right. And they told me it wasn't my fault, that I'm powerless. They also told me about the step 9 amends, which made me very nervous about, and they said, don't worry about it, you're not up to that yet. One step at a time. So from 1975 to 1993, I kept coming to meetings, I kept working the steps. I lost probably, I think my lowest weight was, I came in at 230 pounds and I lost 88 pounds. And that was just not a realistic weight for me. But I was a struggler. I didn't have like months and months of abstinence. Every 5 days I would have a slip and I didn't know why. And I must have been on that sheet that had a carbohydrate that started with the letter B. And February 28, 1993, I was at a meeting, and people were coming back from eating disorder rehabs in Florida, and they knew about food addiction. I had never heard the term food addiction before. And they said, if you gave up the substances that you were addicted to, and for me they were flour, sugar, and wheat, you know what? You wouldn't crave them anymore. Well, that was so tempting to me because every time I would crave one of those things, I would lose the battle. I could never, ever win the battle. So from February 28, 1993, I gave up food, not food. I gave up bread. I had given up sugar. It feels like I gave up food, but the main things that I gave up at that point were bread and pasta. I had given up sugar before, but since 1993, I have not had bread or pasta. But you know what? I still struggled because of that F word that somebody mentioned before, feelings. And so I realized that over the years, I needed to work the steps. I always worked the steps, but what I realized now was I worked them more on an intellectual basis. I studied them academically to understand them. Well, understanding, they say, self-knowledge avails us nothing. We have to live the steps. And for today, 40 years later, I can truly say that I lived the steps. And what I want to say, too, is I could not have curtailed that learning curve at all. It's taken me 40 years to get where I am today, and it's okay, because it happened gradually. It happened with food slips along the way. I have always been a struggler. How I work my program today is the emphasis is on work. You know, I wanted to say the steps are important. It's not the steps, because the steps are out there. If I don't work them, they don't help me. It's the step work that's important. And this is how I work my program today. I have a step buddy who is in this room. I don't even know how long we've been buddying, but we have worked through the steps through several books and series of tapes already, and it has gotten me really close to how the steps are worked in the big book. That is really important for me today. That doctor's opinion chapter, I can't tell you how many times I've read it, but this time I seem to have a better understanding of the physical allergy and the mental obsession. I also listen to telephone meetings. The worst time of day for me is in the morning when I get up, because my head is whirling with all the problems of my life, what was not perfect yesterday, and before I get out of bed, I have the phone in my ear. And it's very often listening to a phone meeting called A Vision for You, because they go through the steps line by line, word by word. I never share. I've never, introduced myself, but I just sop it up, because that's how the steps are worked in the big book. I want to give you an example of how I work the steps today. One of the people who was key to me in the beginning told me that I could work the steps in 5 minutes on any particular issue that comes up. So here's my struggle. In addition to being a compulsive overeater and a food addict, I have a sleeping problem. I don't sleep through the night. I have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep. I thought maybe I have this thing called night eating syndrome. And what I do is I try to numb myself with food during the night. I could be abstinent every day, and then at night, My most recent thing was to eat cereal out of a box. Cold cereal is not even a loophole food for me. It is, I can't handle it, because every time I have one, I want more. And I was taking cereal, and I was talking to my sponsor about it, and I could not stop it. And I've taken it through the steps, and by the grace of God, it's been over 2 months that I'm not eating during the night. How did that happen? It happened because I stopped trying to control it myself. I admitted my powerlessness over it. I did step one. I came to believe that God could restore me to sanity, because I was insane. I would wake up guilty every morning. I would have to share, first of all, I'm supposed to share honestly, but I would lie. I would be tired and scared of telling my sponsor I did it again. But God could remove that insanity if I made a decision to do it His way. That's step three. So I did a step four. What are my character defects that are associated with this? Fear. Fear that I won't be able to fall asleep again. I hate that feeling of tossing and turning. It was mostly fear. I talked to my sponsor about it. I did step five. I became willing to have God remove this defect. Six and seven to me are probably two of the most important steps, and I have learned that I don't have to remove the defect. I can't. I'm as powerless over removing the defect as I am over not eating that bread. It's the same process. I have to become willing to give it to God, and I have to humbly ask God to please take it. That's step seven. But there's something else in step seven. I have to act as if I don't have that defect anymore. That means I can't have it. And so I've done that process, and there's more in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but I really need to get to another part of this qualification, because I want to pay tribute to the people who have helped me from day one. The first one is Esther, who I mentioned. She brought me to my first meeting. I didn't listen to her right away when she told me she was going, but I did eventually come. Sorry to say she's not with us anymore. Brenda Kay, I know she moved to Florida. I don't know where Brenda Kay is anymore, but she's the one who taught me I could take anything through the steps. It doesn't take months and years. I could do it in literally 2 minutes if I want to, and I do that today. Peggy. Peggy was my sponsor for many years. She taught me how to build a relationship with my higher power. I'm Jewish, she was Catholic. We read each other's books, it didn't matter. She taught me that God loves and accepts me just the way I am, and I don't beat myself up anymore for not being perfect. Peggy taught me to claim the joy of the day. I had to do that yesterday. I was feeling miserable yesterday. And Peggy taught me to share my struggles, because if all I do when I come into a meeting is hearing everybody's doing fine, I cringe, you know, I fall deeper down into my hole. I'm a struggler. I need to know that other people struggle and they make it. Sheila I, who's also not with us anymore, taught me to go easy on myself. She got abstinent right away. I struggled. And you can't compare yourself with anyone else's journey. It's just, this is my journey. Babs Barbara is not with us anymore. And she taught me about the attitude switch, that if I'm feeling crappy, I can choose to feel joy. Joan M, who's also not with us anymore, taught me that if everybody said I was right, and if 99 people voted for me and said I was right and my husband was wrong, so what? I don't want to give away my peace to anybody. And I'd like to just thank, you know, my current sponsor who's sitting on this panel, who's been my sponsor for many years. There's someone that I sponsor on this panel too, who's very important in my life, and how important it is for me to continue to give away the program, not only by taking somebody's food, but by helping people work the steps, because I want to live in the solution, and that is what it says in the big book. You know, we remember who we are, we choose to work the steps, and we share it with others. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Barbara Jean. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Barbara.
And I came into this program in May of 1981. And by the grace of God and the support of people in the rooms and working the 12 steps, I, this past January, celebrated 32 years of abstinence. Thank you, and that applause is for my higher power, because I'm powerless over food. So I know that if I can do it, anybody can do it, because it's the grace of God. And when I came into the program in May of 1981, there were no phone meetings, there were no online meetings, because nobody had a computer. And if you wanted a phone meeting, you took the We Care book and you called someone up and you asked them to read a page from the big book with you and you shared on it. And that type of phone meeting got me through several months of being bedridden. After, you can't hear me?
Yeah, well, keep it a little lower.
Lower? Is that how you
did?
Okay, thank you. When a traffic trailer hit my car in 1992, I was bedridden for several months and I was able to stay abstinent. With these phone meetings where I would just call someone and they would be kind enough to read a page of the big book with me. When I came into the program, they had a sort of a slogan that I don't hear too much anymore, and it's that as the pen eases the pain. And that was a lifeline for me, because when I became abstinent, 32 years of buried feelings started coming up. And I didn't just get angry, I got enraged. And I just didn't feel sad. I felt in the depths of despair. And I didn't know what to do with these feelings other than eat over them. But they had to come out. And my sponsor, Peggy, she encouraged me to write. And I would pour out the feelings and the pain. Ease the pain, and when I was done writing, she'd say, okay, and you put the pen down, and it's not yours anymore. and it was a way to externalize all these feelings that were eating me up alive, that I tried to numb with food for years before. Early in the program, I tried to work the tools, the 21 writings, and I went to meetings, I read the literature, but I had on-again, off-again abstinence. The difference for me was when I began working the 12 steps, and I remember the day, it talks in the big book, it says, half measures availed us nothing, we stood at the turning point. And I remember after a horrific binge, something clicked in the kernel of my heart, and it was my turning point, and I begged God from the depths of my heart to relieve the pain of the compulsive overeating. And what I received was a willingness to go to any length to work the 12 steps of the program. And from that time on, when I would get a food thought, I would pick up the book and work a step. And I didn't do it perfectly, but I did do it to the best of my ability. I did it with everything I had. It couldn't be a half measure because that was life and death to me. And at that time, they did not have the OA 12 and 12. We used the AA 12 and 12. And I know this one looks like it's the one Bill wrote himself. The OA 12 and 12 has a lot of wisdom in it and a lot of good things. But this book has the crux of the 12 steps for me, the unvarnished truth. And when I sponsor people today, I use this book because that's how I was sponsored. And I can only share what I've received, so I just pass on what was given to me. There are so many precious things I learned through working these steps and feeling safe enough to tell the truth about where I was instead of where I thought I wanted to be. When I came into the program in 1981, there were people who would lead the meetings and they would talk about being a grateful compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to bring their necks because I was not grateful. But over the years, I have become a very grateful compulsive overeater because now I have a way of dealing with whatever comes up in life. And there are more and more things that I'm powerless over. I've faced some pretty hard challenges in abstinence, and I didn't have to eat over it, and I didn't have to go through it alone. The steps that spoke most to me when I began working them were steps 3 and 11, because it made sense to me. If I'm powerless, I need a power greater than myself to do what I can't do. So I gravitated towards steps 3 and 11, because I thought they would help me grow closer to my higher power. And I didn't realize at the time that each and every step helps me grow closer to my higher power. And it said in the big book, if you want to know if you really made that step 3 decision, you know how you know that? If you go on to work the rest of the steps. And in working step 4 and taking an inventory, I got to learn a lot about myself. Things I was afraid to find out, but that I needed to know. And in step 5, giving away to another human being, I felt that I would feel worse about myself, but I was met with acceptance when I was honest. I was met with unconditional love, and that helped me to believe that if another human being could accept me, knowing the worst about me, then God could accept me too. Making amends helped me to feel better about myself. I could hold my head up. I had a sense of self-respect that I never had when I was turning to the food. I've been able to face being bedridden. I've been able to face a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, which is why I stand up, because of physical problems. I don't really want to stand out in a crowd, but it causes me pain to sit. I faced divorce, death of immediate family members, serious illness and hospitalization of my daughter. I learned to go through these challenges by turning to my higher power, turning to the people in the program, and working the 12 steps. It seemed like I needed to learn the hard stuff first, because there's been joy in my life, too. I'm remarried to a terrific guy. My daughter, who was so seriously ill at one point, has grown. She's married. She has two beautiful children. Through all that writing I did, I've ended up becoming a published author. My life has taken turns I never could have dreamed possible. It really is true. When we surrender something that lays on a plate and hurts us, we get that life beyond our wildest dreams. I am a very grateful, compulsive reader, and I'd like to close with my two favorite sentences from this book. One is from the chapter on step two, and it says, belief meant reliance, not defiance. I'm a very defiant son of a gun. I like things my way, but if I really believe there is a God, and he loves me, and is wise and more powerful, then it's in my best interest to rely on God instead of defy him. And the last sentence in this chapter on step 11 says, we know that God lovingly watches over us, and that when we turn to him, all will be well with us, here and in the hereafter. Thanks for letting me share.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
My name is Brenda. I am a compulsive, obsessive, addictive person.
Hi, Brenda.
Thank you. I am starting my 31st year in program. I walked into my first meeting a week before Labor Day in 1984, and a friend brought me into this program after I begged her to tell me how she lost weight. And I walked into this room and I sat in a high back, the most comfortable chair in a dimly lit room with people who talked about me. They talked how I was feeling, and I knew that I would never leave this program again. They told me I had to go to 6 meetings before I made a decision that if this program was for me. And I knew the first meeting that this was where I belong. I spent the first 25 years of my program with many sponsors, with many food plans. In that 25 years, I gained a lot of weight, on and off, losing weight, gaining weight, and I was at my top weight. I have since lost 68 pounds of that top weight. And I spent those 25 years trying to figure out how to get out of denial. And I spent most of those years in this room being invisible. I thought that if I was invisible, I would be okay. Nobody would blame me for anything, and I would be safe. About 6 years ago, I sat next to a woman in a meeting who I had known from the day I walked into these rooms, and I heard her share on the 12 steps. And I thought, oh my God, and I didn't have a sponsor at that time. I thought I could do it myself. And when the meeting was over and she hugged me, I whispered in her ear, would you be my sponsor? And she said, of course. I have spent the next 6 years learning everything about this program that has brought me to today. I learned how to live in the day. I learned how to accept myself unconditionally. I learned that the only way for me to recover is through the 12 steps. I have read every 12-step book. I have done the 12 steps. I don't know how many times that I've done writings and been at workshops. But I do them now. Also, I was taught how to do the 12 steps in 5 minutes if I wanted to get rid of a problem. And I have a sheet that I keep by my computer. I also worked the 12 steps through not an OA-approved book, but an AA-approved book that in very simple terms teaches me what my addiction is all about. I am multi-addicted. I no longer drink, I no longer do drugs, I no longer smoke. food became my choice of addiction. I have learned through the 12 steps on a daily basis how to work through problems. I read something this week that really, actually I think it was last week. Everybody has problems. I suffered also from terminal uniqueness. I felt I was the only one in the world that had these problems. I was the only one that grew up in a dysfunctional family. I was the only one that had a dysfunctional family. And it has taken me 31 years to accept not only how I feel, but my body. And that has been a miracle for me, the freedom to know that I do not have to hurt myself on a daily basis with food is a miracle in my life. I have had to change my food plan dramatically because of some health issues. And I work all of my problems and all of my feelings through my sponsor. It is a miracle for me to be able to have a person that I can actually tell how I feel. I know now that feelings, we all have feelings, but I have learned that that's all it is. It's just a feeling. It's like everything else. If I believe that God will take care of me one day at a time, and I work so hard to live not only in the day, but in the moment sometimes, from this point to this point. And it has been an absolute joy of my life to know that I have this program in my life. When I left my house this morning, I am married 50 years. My husband still doesn't get it. He doesn't know who I am. He doesn't understand this program, but he's starting to understand some certain things that I have changed. I am not that same person that I walked in 1984. I'm an entirely different person. I'm really the same person on the inside. I really am. And he said, oh, I hope you have a wonderful time and really enjoy yourself today. And I said, thank you. Normally, I would tell him what I really thought. But I learned how to not react, but learn how to act. But I'm not perfect. And that was another thing that I had to give up my perfectionism. Once again this week, I had to make an amends to my husband for saying a very terrible thing to him, because at that moment, I just lost it. The miracle of that is that I could understand what I did, go back and say to him, I said a terrible thing to you and I'm so sorry. And that was the end of it. There didn't have to be conversation back and forth. Who's right, who's wrong? These are the things that I think about every day of my life, how to act in public, at home, with friends, with program people, with my children. I've had to set tons and tons of boundaries about people that are very close to me. I am addicted to people, places, and things. Bottom line, I'm an addict. And the first time I was able to say that in a meeting, I shed my denial. I also realized that part of the recovery is service. That's when I shed the fact that I don't have to be invisible anymore. I go to meetings and I share. I have service positions. I raise my hand anytime somebody needs something. I love doing service because it gets me out of myself. It allows me to be who I really am. I no longer think, oh my God, I can't do that because if I make a mistake, they won't like me. They'll tell me I can't do it anymore. I gained so much respect for my abilities only through this program. And those are the miracles in my life today. I will never leave this program. I have also, the first year I was in program, and I'll end, I went to the Concord. That was my first retreat. My sponsor warned me that there would be thousands of people there, and that when I sat in the dining room, I was not to look at anybody's food, to follow my own food plan. I was on orange sheet. I also wanted that carbohydrate. I then went, in the summer, I went to Long Beach Island. I have never missed a convention. I missed two Long Beach Island retreats, and I have expanded my retreats to others. I recently went to Winter Dreams, and that was an amazing weekend, Winter Dreams. It was amazing. And I'm just very grateful. And my ending is, I would never say I was a grateful compulsive overeater. And I used to resent when people said it. I have learned to be grateful for at least one thing every single day that I tell my sponsor, or I tell somebody else, or I share it in a meeting. And today, my gratitude is I got here and I didn't get lost.
Just for a minute, did you want to say something? I just wanted to say one other thing, and that is that Judy Bernard was a part of our fellowship, and she has passed away this past year. So I just wanted to recognize her. And Esther was the person from New Jersey who was our rep and went to California and started Unity Day throughout the world.